Lord, we give you all the glory. We thank you for your words. We thank you for your words. We thank you for the revelation, Lord. We thank you. Oh, we thank you for the journey. We thank you. Hallelujah forever. You know, the Lord is really, really culminating things right now in such a magnificent way to have the Lord teach the way he's taught in all these years. He would give you different pieces, and sometimes it'd be very frustrating because you'd only see parts, but he would expand that part so much that you just want to live in it. But it was just a part. Then he'd just move on to something else. And it's like, what happened to that? By the time you were acclimating to that, he'd moved to something else. And it's something like sometimes the church, about the time the church is acclimating to something, we're already moving and shifting. And he's putting all these pieces together, but just over the holidays in November, December, he's put the whole thing together. And everything converges into what we're talking about right now. What I'm going to call this is the inheritance of light. Say light. What I see light to be, my definition of light is greatly, I mean, you see you're the light of the world and we have the light of salvation, but there's so many facets. Just like light, all the colors. You can't have color without light. Did you know that? Color cannot exist without light. Without light, you just have darkness, black, darkness. But with light, it's the color. Amen? Listen to this scripture. I want you to go to Numbers 4, verse 9. He's talking about the candlestick under the tabernacle. By the way, they had very specific people building this candlestick and very specific instruction. When I say they, under Moses' tabernacle and under Solomon's tabernacle, both of them, Moses received a very specific pattern from the Lord, and David received a very specific pattern that he gave to Solomon. Solomon just inherited everything. He inherited the wealth, he inherited the pattern, he inherited the priesthood. David set everything up for him because David wanted to build. He wanted that tabernacle, and God said, listen, you're not going to build it because you've been a man of war, but you're going to pay for it. But David just about did everything. He handed the blueprints over and everything. He received all that on the mountain. So did Moses. But there's something very interesting they said about this candlestick in Numbers chapter 4, verse 9. It says, and they shall take a cloth of blue and cover the candlestick of the light in its flames. You know that light never went out, but they took a cloth and they covered it somehow without catching on fire. But they covered that in blue. And the Lord led me to that scripture, and I started praying about what that meant. And of course, if you understand, blue is the color, the primary color for revelation. And see, covered that candlestick in revelation, because that candlestick had multiple revelation in it. It had multiple operations and multiple dimensions in it. So whatever you think light is, I can assure you, times that by 1,000. Whatever you believe light to be, because only the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus, wants to expand our understanding of what light is, the operations of light, how it works, what it's going to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Colossians chapter 1, listen to this verse 9. Says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. This prayer is a lot like the Ephesians 3 prayer. Paul was praying these prayers in the churches he'd visit. He's going to pray for dunamis power. It's just simultaneous, almost like the Ephesians 3 prayer. It says that you desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's what he wants us from us right now, corporately, to be filled. He wants us all together. God kept this place kind of small for a reason. There's a reason why we where we are and the people that are here, because he wants us in full one accord right now. Amen. Because he wants to birth something corporately. He wants us to be a one heart, one mind, one accord, one spirit. Hallelujah. He wants one faith. Amen. One faith. He wants us all in the same place. Because once he lights this thing, all the color of it will come out. Amen. And when the color comes out, everybody's going to come out. Everybody's callings and anointing, because this is not a person's thing. It's a government of God. We're carrying this. He don't want me to carry it. He wants us to carry it. And for us to carry, you have to understand what this lampstand is. Amen. So that's what we're teaching into this light. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And says, you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and understanding. You might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened I like this. They strengthen with all dunamis might. Dunamis has turned out to be quite an operation of God. And it's going to be the fuel by which this lampstand continually burns. He says, strengthen with all dunamis power according to his glorious power unto all patience. Oh, why did he say that? Long suffering. I want to get there and I want to get there now. I thought I was ready 20 years ago. I know some of you thought you were ready 20 years ago. I thought I was ready 10 years ago. Every successful revelation. I mean, Joanne and I are having a conversation about the right hand of God. And it's like, we were like 25% there. 1/4. I'm like, we're there. This thing's going to go. We're there. We're there. And then another revelation. And I go, we're there now. Then another one come. And another series. We're there now. And each successive series would build on itself. But I think we're there. Say, we're there. We are there. Praise the Lord. Should he want to interject another series between this one and that one? We're still there. Praise the Lord. You got to live like that when you're birthing in faith. You got to live right in the midst of that. You got to stay there. Praise the Lord. You cannot draw back. There is no drawing back. We are moving forward to the things of God and we are moving. Say, we're moving. These are good days. Praise the Lord. Faith should be growing right now in your heart. You shouldn't be in a stuck place right now, spiritually. If you're connected to what's going on here, you should be moving and growing. And faith and life should be growing. Amen. If you're stagnant, you got to get plugged in. He's the strength of the Almighty. According to his glorious power and all patient long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. I like this, verse 12, powerful. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath meet us to be made partakers, say partakers, of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now that word in is the word E-N. The Greek word, it also means, listen to this, by and through, by way of. Let's read it like that. Makes a little more sense. Which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints by way of light. We partake of the inheritance by way of light. There is an inheritance in this light. The first light you got was the light of salvation, but there's a far greater light. We are to grow in light. Amen. Because light is continually growing. When God spoke the universe, it's continually expanding. Hallelujah. And we are to continually grow. But this light is going to grow in all of its facets, all of its color, all of its operations, and all of its manifestations are going to come forth. Hallelujah. I've identified about 10 operations right now, the lampstand. Now, go to Acts 25 real quick. We're in the foundations of a, I wouldn't say a new light, but a great light. We're in the foundation phases of it right now. But how many of you know when light breaks forth, it don't take very long to clear the darkness out. A flick of the switch and the darkness is cleared out. A flick of the switch and the mountains move. This is a light that you definitely want to be plugged into. This is a light that you want. Because a lot of the things you struggle with will be removed overnight by this light. It'll be pushed out immediately because, like Carl said, darkness not only runs from light, it cannot even exist in light. Do you know in heaven, I remember when Jesse Duplantis went to heaven and there were people come up and talk to him and he kept walking up behind him looking at him. And he kept getting up behind him and you see like this pulpit will have a shadow. He said there was so much light everywhere, but there's no shadows. And he goes, he was so preoccupied with the fact he couldn't find a shadow anywhere. And he goes, Jesse, what are you looking at? People kept asking him in heaven. He goes, well, you don't have a shadow. He goes, the light so filled the place. Even when there's light coming at you, there's a shadow behind, but there are no shadows. It's just light. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Acts chapter 26, verse 16. Now, this is Paul in the middle of his first eyewitness. And I mean, he was converted, everything on the spot with this one. But something happened here that I want to look at. Chapter 26, verse 16. He says, "But rise, Paul, stand upon thy feet, for I've appeared unto thee for this purpose." I believe that's going to be happening again. Praise the Lord. "To make thee a minister and a witness of the things which you have seen." Well, at this point, he's about blind right now, because the Bible says the light blinded him. Because he goes, "You're going to bear witness of the light that you have seen today." Because Paul in another part, he said, "I bore witness of that light. A great light came down from heaven." He said, "You're going to bear witness of this." He goes, "And I'm going to send you," verse 17, "deliver thee for the people from the Gentiles. From now, I'll send you." I'm going to send you. You know, there's going to be a sending coming with light. There's a sending. The nature of light is it breaks out. When it breaks out, you break out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 18 says, "To open their eyes." First thing's got to happen, you got to have your eyes open. "And to turn them from darkness," what? "To light. From the power of Satan to God, they may receive forgiveness of sin." Notice as he said, "and an inheritance." You turn them from darkness to light. You open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, that they may receive an inheritance. There is an inheritance in this light. A lot of our inheritance is in this light. A lot of our future inheritance, I'll say all of the future inheritance is in this light. Amen. I want to look at this for a minute. Go to Hebrews chapter 8, if you would. Now, Numbers and Chronicles, you can read that later. But when Moses built, he hired very specific people, and he said, "Be sure that you build after the pattern." Very specifically, even the candlestick and everything. He goes, "You build it after the pattern." And then David said the same thing to Solomon. He says, "Make sure you build it after pattern." Say the pattern. God has a pattern. We're understanding the pattern. Glory to God. God still builds, but this is a different pattern now. But Hebrews references the earthly tabernacle was an earthly pattern of a greater pattern, which was a heavenly pattern. Say, there's a heavenly pattern. There's heavenly chaos, and there's also a heavenly pattern. Usually when the Holy Spirit moves with heavenly chaos, he's moving off a foundation of a heavenly pattern. You don't lay that pattern down, it's not going to last. We want something that lasts, amen? You got to have something built on the right pattern, the right foundation. There's a heavenly pattern to what God's doing. There was an earthly tabernacle, there was an earthly lampstand, and there's a heavenly lampstand. And what we're looking for is the heavenly lampstand that's coming down to the earth, amen? He's setting it into a tabernacle again. He's just setting it into our tabernacle. God's going to plant that lampstand up inside of you. I remember when God sent me to Korea. Pastor, was it Cho? South Korea. But I remember the Lord had me do something. He said, "I want you to plant this lampstand right in the middle of this church." I didn't even know nothing about the lampstand like I know what it is today. But the Spirit of God broke out. I just did it by faith. Because what he was doing, he's planting that revelation that he'd come and water later. When I did that and moved in the Spirit of God broke out over that church. And I'm not kidding. I'll tell you, God is my witness. About 5 to 6 rows of intercessors just went bam, 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 bam. And the whole church was just laid out in the Spirit. I had no idea what was going on. And I tried to do that again at another place, and nothing happened. But it happened there. Because it was a foreshadowing of what we're about to walk in. Glory to God. Hebrews 8, verse 4. If he were on earth, and that's speaking of the Lord, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. He should not be a Levitical priest. who serve, look at this, under this example and shadow of heavenly things. They were serving under the shadow of it. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, see, saith you, that you make all things according to the pattern showed to thee on the mountain. So he's telling him, you need to make sure, because you're serving under a much greater example. You're serving as a shadow of heavenly things. Everything you're seeing is a replica of what's going on up there. Because there's a heavenly tabernacle that you're operating in a natural replica of. But it's an example of the heavenly thing. Go to chapter 9. The Lord told me, because I like to jump up and just start running with things. And the Lord said, he goes, I want you to be thorough. Everything he's done about this journey has been thorough. He's very, very intent on having the foundation laid. A lot of people like to just jump in the river and start swimming. Praise the Lord. But God, when he builds masterfully. And he builds off his word and he builds thoroughly. So the foundation, listen, not probably one of you have ever sat there and got a microscope out and studied the blueprint of your house. But that architect spent a lot of time on it. That every little jot and tittle, every inch of your house that you live in was constructed off of that blueprint. You may not have ever seen the blueprint in your house, but you're living in that house because of that blueprint. And that house was going to stay there if it was built right, if it had the proper blueprint. There'll be a lot of people partake of what's going to come and never know, but God understands blueprints and he builds specific to it. Amen. Everything he does, you're going to build off that word. That's why David and Moses were so adamant. He says, listen, what was shown to me on the mountain, build it exactly the way God said. And the Bible is full of those details. You can read them. I mean, he does like, what does that matter? Who cares? But God put it there because he cares. Because all foreshadowing. There's specific detail. Now look at Hebrews 9. Verse 1. He said, but then verily the first covenant had also ordinance of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. And there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was what? The candlestick. It was in the first tabernacle. He's going to go on and say, that was the first, but it was a foreshadowing of the heavenly. Amen. Drop down to verse 15. For this cause, speaking of the Lord, he's a mediator now of the New Testament. That by means of death for the redemption of the transgressors that were under the first testament, that they were called might receive the promise, look at this, of eternal inheritance. The law did not give the eternal inheritance, but this last tabernacle granted eternal inheritance. There is an eternal inheritance in the midst of this heavenly tabernacle. And there is a heavenly lampstand that God's going to plant on the earth. He said he planted the heavens. Verse 22, for almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. So Christ, it was therefore necessary, look at this, that the pattern, say the patterns of things in the heavens, pattern of the things in the heavens. Jesus did not put his blood in that natural tabernacle. He put it in the heavens. And he said he walked right into the Holy of Holies in the heavens. If he put his blood in the Holy of Holies in the heavens, then there was a lampstand there too. If there's a lampstand, what did that look like? What was that purpose of it? I believe, you can go over to Zechariah chapter 4 now. Jesus said, if I tell you earthly things, how are you going to believe? If you're having a hard time with earthly things, how are you going to believe if I start talking about heavenly things? I said all this to say this. I want to talk to you about a heavenly operation. I believe Zechariah 4, given under the old, under the shadow, was foreshadowing a heavenly lampstand. And it's that lampstand, in fact, this particular chapter was given to me about 25 years ago, when the first major downloads that I ever see from the Lord. And he downloaded the entire chapter. And the way he did it was pretty remarkable. But I didn't understand anything about it other than he spoke to me so clearly, almost audibly. It was so amazing. He said, this chapter is all you need. He said, this chapter, he said something like, this chapter and the contents therein are all you need to accomplish all that I've called you to do. And he gave that to me 25 years ago. But 25 years ago, I didn't know what was in this chapter. This was actually before the internet. And the reason I know that is because I remember the seven lamps. One of the first revelation I got about the seven lamps was foreshadowing a replica of the seven continents of the earth. It was a global vision, international vision. It encompassed the earth. You didn't have internet back in those days, so you couldn't just go and... And I thought that there was actually back then nine continents in the earth. So I called a librarian. Because that's what you did in those days. I mean, it's amazing how far we've come. But I just called the librarian. I said, I didn't want to go over there. I just called the librarian. I said, look, could you just open up one of your encyclopedias there? Just tell me how many continents, because I believe there's nine. She goes, sir, I don't need to look at it. She goes, there's seven. So there's seven. That was the greatest revelation ever back in then. I said, wow, you're right, God. He gave me this. With these two olive trees and the bowl upon the top of it and the seven lamps to the seven pipes to the seven lamps. And then there were seven eyes of the Lord. Zerubbabel built the foundation of the temple with the seven eyes of the Lord. There's so many components. Will be these two olive trees that empty the gold and oil out of themselves. I think it probably took 10 to 12 years to know what the two olive trees were. But in understanding over time, God began to build the picture of it. And he gave him a picture of it in the beginning. It's in the prayer room, but still didn't know what the fullness of it was. But something happened drastically right over the holidays. In November, December, he just completely unfolded. It was like it was set on a shelf, and all of a sudden he pulled it off the shelf and said, now it's ready. Now I want to show you what this is. Because it's a heavenly lampstand, there were components to it. And we've been talking about these components, about light. Amen? I want you to go Hebrews 11. The first thing he said in Zechariah 4, he said, what be this two olive trees and the bowl and the seven pipes and the seven lamps? He said, notice what he said, this is the word of the Lord. He said, what you're looking at is the word of the Lord. Now, what we're finding out is the original creation of light itself had the components. There are certain components that cause that light to release that's still here today. Hallelujah. Do you know light is an inheritance in itself? I mean, we live in a day where there's electricity, but before there's electricity, if you didn't have light and under an agricultural society, you didn't have anything. Light would produce inheritance for you. We live in an electronic society now. We flick a light switch, but in those days, it wasn't that. I mean, the sun didn't come up. You didn't get harvest. You didn't get harvest. You didn't prosper. We live in a tad bit of a different operation now. But this heavenly lampstand operates with the same components that God employed in the original creation. So Hebrews 11, verse 1. So it's three components that you see in Zechariah chapter 4, and there are three components that you see in the creation of light. Now, I know every one of you know those components. You should know them right now. But those three components are embedded into that chapter, and they are what's causing the creation of the lighting of that lampstand. That lampstand is a government. The two olive trees being the king and the priest, That lampstand has a global operation. That lampstand operates on the seventh day of rest. That means it's not going, because it's a heavenly lampstand, no flesh can glory in the midst of it. The first prerequisite in the lighting of this lampstand, or the lighting of this light to obtain this light, is you can't do it. Because this light's going to do something for you you can't do in 10 lifetimes, not in 100 lifetimes. This light is far greater. The lighting of it's a seventh day operation. What do I mean by that? God sat down. God got up, created the world, he sat down. The world fell, he got back up, redeemed the world, and Christ sat back down. Christ seated at the right hand of God. Everything he does from that position of rest. Labor therefore to enter into what? The rest. He that entered into his rest has ceased from what? His own works. It's a seventh day operation. One of the problems with the church right now is we're still very much into our own operations. Because to get God to bring heaven down, we're going to have to operate like heaven. We're going to have to get up there and find out what's up in there. How does it work? I know there's a lampstand in the right hand of God. I know there's a heavenly tabernacle. It's a spiritual thing that has a spiritual operation. But how do I get that light here? How to operate like the Lord operated? He had omnipotence in the light he walked in. He had omniscience in the light he walked in. He had omnipresence in the light he walked in. He could see all the time. How'd you like to see like that? How'd you like to finish people's sentences for them before they even started talking? You know, Elisha did that. They'd come out, the king would send people to him, and before they got in the room, he'd start telling them everything. To have that kind. Now, there's a prophetic operation where the anointing will come upon you, but I'm talking about a continuous operation of light. An operation that's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. An operation when this light is present, darkness completely fades. That kind of light. God created this world. He created it with the very same components that he's going to light this lampstand with. He's going to light it up. Say, light it up, Lord. You know, you can hold that because it's the word of the Lord. You can hold that. And then, Mr. Hart, I've been carrying it for 25 years. I know. You can hold it there. You can receive. Now, I'm talking about heavenly things, so you're going to have to pay attention. You can receive. Say, receive. There's components to this word. It's not just a word there. There's seven eyes in that candlestick. The seven eyes of the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. With the seven spirits of God, the spirit of glory, the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon me, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Did you know all of that seven spirits of God, that is light? That's an operation of light. The seven spirits of God is an operation of light. Solomon operated in the seven spirits of God. He operated in the seven pillars of wisdom. Wisdom dwells in the midst of that lampstand. Wisdom is building her house, what? Hewing out her seven pillars. She talked about how in Proverbs 9, you ought to meditate that sometime, and the correlation between Proverbs 7, 8, and 9, you had the harlot, and you had this proverbial woman called Wisdom. Wisdom had the highest place in the city, and the harlot sat in a high place of the city. Wisdom called. The harlot called. Wisdom come and said, come, eat of my table. Wisdom has killed her beast. And she's making a wine. Come and drink. And the harlot says, come. And say, she says, she also come. She's completely counter.
counterfeiting everything about wisdom she can. But she says, come, stolen waters are sweet. Said, I sit in the high place. But wisdom comes in, said, I sit in the highest place. But their clarion calls the same. Both of them say, come, come. But wisdom says, come to the highest place. And the harlot says, come to the high place. She sits in the high place of the world, but wisdom sits in the heavenlies. And to partake of this kind of wisdom, because it's not earthly wisdom, it's not born of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Tree of knowledge and good and evil. This is the tree of life. This is the heavenly tree, and it's a heavenly wisdom, and it's a heavenly operation, and one decision from it could radically transform your life. Even wisdom says, I give the knowledge of witty invention. By me, kings reign and nobles execute judgment. By me, judges rule, princes reign. The ability to rule and to reign. You remember Solomon before he came to the Lord, he said, I don't know how to come in and go out. The first thing he asked for was wisdom. And God brought the personal wisdom to stand next to him in everything he did, and everything he built, everything he orchestrated. And God brought that kingdom. It was a king-priest government he brought to the fullness under the law. So much so that the peoples of the earth and the kings of the earth, all of them came to hear his wisdom and to see what God had done. And the glory of God filled it, even under the old. Nothing like it's ever been done. But Jesus said, I'll tell you, there's a greater than Solomon stands here. Well, that light he walked in was in the midst of that kind of sin. That was part of what that light gave him. You have a light that gives you the light of your salvation, but there's a far greater light that doesn't leave you to make decisions on your own. Think about the decisions we've made in this life that have not been good. But man, we thought they were good. Think about where we would be today had we made the right ones. If we had something that came into fellowship with us like that, if we were wrapped up into that. A lot of times our wisdom comes experientially. We're not going to be afforded the luxury of experiential wisdom in the days to come. We're going to need something far greater. I can't just learn by experience. A lot of the ways I've learned is a lot of mistakes. And a lot more and more and more and more. Yeah, you get wise that way. But that is not the kind of school God wants us to be enrolled in. Then you can get a mentor. But who's going to give you a mentorship in a heavenly candlestick? Scour the earth and find somebody with that one upside them. With two olive trees. Most of them will look at you like that. I'm looking for the candlestick. Do you have it with the two olive trees and the seven eyes of the Lord in it? And the continuous oil. One from the kings, one from the priests, and it mixes into a bowl. You should have some intercessors around you that are doing that mixing. And in the middle of that mixing, there's going to be a light. And seven candles are going to burn. Has at least 10 operations. Could you mentor me in that? Please go find me somebody that knows anything about what I'm talking about. How are you going to get what Elisha had? To look into the king's chambers. King Assyria kept making plans against the kings of Judah. Elisha would call them. Said, hey, he's going to be such and such. Don't even go there. And the king of Syria said, would somebody please tell me who is giving away my secrets? They said, it's not you, O Lord. There is a man in Dothan. His name is Elisha. He hears what goes on in your bedchamber. That's what he said. Who's going to give you that kind of light? The kind of power to float an axe head. That king sent a whole army. Early in the morning, Gehazi was Elijah's. Was his, early in the morning. Gehazi He gets up, and the armies of Syria surrounded their city. I mean, he's tripping. Elisha already knows what's going on. I don't even think the man woke up yet. He's seeing this stuff in his sleep. You know what he said? Not even, I mean, this is an army. He said, open his eyes, Lord, that he may see. He saw a dimension that was far greater than this one. And that dimension, not only he saw it, it was empowered by God. And Gehazi's eyes opened, and there were horses and flames of fire spread around all the mountains. Gehazi said, we're in a good place. He said, don't you worry about them. Don't you worry about them. And he released the power of that light. And what he did was the same thing Paul did to that man. He said, Father, cast blindness on him. See, when you have the power of that kind of light, what he said really is, Father, withdraw the light from him. Because he had power with light. He said, just withdraw the light. That's what blindness is. It's just the light withdrew. And that light, them guys stumbled around and they walked out there, and he sent his servant out there, go lead them right over there to the king of Samaria, the man that they're fighting. He led that whole army right up into the other army. And the king of Samaria said, oh, I'm going to smite them. And Elisha said, no, we're not going to do that. He goes, this was given to you freely. He goes, feed them and send them home. And that's how he dealt with the entire army. That kind of power to look into things. To look into what is the next iPad, what is the next Microsoft, what is the next technology that's going to be born. Why does the world have to sit on that? What does the world get that technology? To look into the next technology that can transform the world and have the power to implement it. Who ever thought oil was going to go down and gasoline to $1.80 a gallon? $1.69, thank you very much. What was it last year? Almost $4? Who knew that? Imagine if you'd have known that. You know how much money somebody could have made if they just could sit right here today, 1 year ago? Do you have any idea in the options market, the futures market, that trades 1,000 times their value, if they would have known? Because nobody would have believed that. Not anybody. Everybody said it's going to $5. $5 a gallon. Who would ever thought it was going to be cut in half? 60%. Who would ever believe that? There is a light that could have seen that. There's a light that could have seen 7 years. Elisha saw 7 years in front of him. Said, there's going to be famine 7 years. He told that widow woman, there's going to be a famine. You don't want to be around here. He said, you go, and you go in the land. You get out of here for 7 years. Come back after 7 years. Because he saw this is not a place you want to be. Joseph saw 7 years. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of leanness. Daniel saw 70 weeks of 7 years. And it broke it down like that. 1 week is still to come. The 7 year tribulation. 69 weeks got cut off at Messiah to the age of the Gentile. The 70th week, the 7th of 7 years. Was a 7 year tribulation. Not only did Daniel see that, John saw. He said, come up hither, John. You want a light that's not of this world? You got to come up hither. And there was a door open in heaven, and then he started seeing it all. He saw 2,000 years in front of him. A specific time frame of 7 years is going to happen in our generation. My candle will be full of oil when the master shows up. I will be among the 5 wise virgins. And so will you. I have full of oil. Our lamp is full of oil going on the first load. I'm going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. John saw all that. Joseph saw seven. Daniel saw seven. Elisha saw sevens. God deals in sevens. The candlestick shows you things to come. It shows you from a heavenly perspective. That's a light that's part of our inheritance. That's what he's about, the light. That operation. Using the very creative components that he used in the beginning. He used the Word, the Holy Spirit, and creative dunamis power. And all three of those are in Zechariah chapter 4. The Word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, the seven eyes of the Lord, and the oil from the olive tree. The same thing he used to create light with in the beginning that you and I enjoy, that up until Thomas Edison, the whole world depended on. I mean, you couldn't even function in a society without the light that God produced off of that. He's going to light a brand new government, a brand new lampstand, a global lampstand. With seven eyes and seven spirits of God burning and seven pillars of apostolic government and seven spirits of God under a seventh day rest. It's going to be a God kind of thing. Amen. Where it's not going to be by might, not by power. You know how much work we do to win 3,000 people to the Lord? Under the early church, as soon as that power came down, first message, bam, 3,000 born again. Second message, bam, 5,000 born again. Imagine what the harvest is going to look like in the last days. I don't think they're going to be buildings. There are a lot of people that have looked into that prophetically. They're not buildings enough to contain. Because that is the release of God's glory. Amen. Father, let there be light. I adjure you. To hold that candlestick, meditate upon him, and understand it's a last day candlestick. It was prophesied in Zechariah chapter 4, but it was foreshadowing another day. He spoke it to Zerubbabel, but Zerubbabel never did what God said he would do. He said he'd rebuild the temple and it'd be greater than Solomon's house. It wasn't greater than Solomon's house because it was foreshadowing another day and another operation. And he also included the element under Haggai, the wealth. He goes, once again, I'll shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry lands. I'll shake it all. And the treasures of all nations will flow back into my house. Just like they did in Solomon's day. And the glory of the latter day house will be greater than Solomon's house. And the silver is mine, the gold is mine. Now he said that, but that did not happen. Because it was speaking of another generation that must accomplish this. Before the coming of the Lord. A house that would receive the glory of God again. A house whose candle would equal and rival Solomon's candle. A house whose government would equal and rival Solomon's government. A glory. A light. That had a priestly operation. And had a kingly operation, just like Solomon, but it would be greater. And a wisdom that would be greater. And an operation to be greater. That lampstand in that chapter was speaking of our generation. An apostolic generation. And an apostolic light. And a glory that will come with it. And a government that will come with it. And you have it as an inheritance. Because it's the word of the Lord. And you can hold it. And you can receive the measures. And receive the oil. Receive. And you can commune with the Holy Spirit. Until he lights the candle. One of the other things that light, and I'll close with this. The Lord. He said, the seven churches. John saw him in the heavens and he was standing in the midst of the candlestick. The Lord himself in a glorified state was standing in the midst of, He said, this is the mystery of the candlestick. These are the seven churches. He's standing in the midst of his church. The difference between that one and the one we're in is that one was lit. This one hadn't been lit yet. He was standing in the midst of a glorified church. Seven candles burning. That's our generation. That chapter is prophetic to him who has ears to hear and eyes to see. That's where we're going. The lighting of a government that belongs to God. Amen. It's going to operate under the rest of God. But it's going to do exploits like no other generation did.